All right, we'll be in the book of Jude, and I will continue where we left off last week on our worksheets. There are a couple back there if you need a worksheet. We're looking at eternal security, the book of Jude, verse 24. So Jude, we'll read again verses 24 and 25, we'll pray and we'll get into it. Jude 1:24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be in your house this evening. We thank you for your word. We thank you for these great words that you had Jude pen. And Lord, I pray that you will lead us into all truth as we look into your word tonight. And we'll give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so point number one was the preservation of God, that he is able to keep us from falling. And then point two was the presentation of God to present you faultless. And then, we did point number one, God is able to guard over us so that we do not fall. Letter A, into doctrinal error, and that's by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And then God can guard us from spiritual defeat, again, by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And here we jump into letter C, and so our blank here is into overwhelming calamity. God is able to guard us so that we do not fall into overwhelming calamity. Let's look at Jude 1:21. Here he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now, verse 20 goes with it, so let's go ahead and read that also. Jude says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, what is interesting is that this is a command. So this is something for us to do. This is our assignment, to keep ourselves in the love of God. We are told the means and the method in verse 20, that is by building up yourselves on your most holy faith. We know that in 2 Peter chapter 1, we have these stair steps of Christ's likeness where Peter says, add to your faith this, virtue and knowledge and so on, and brotherly kindness and charity, and the list just keeps going. So we are to add to our faith. Our faith is something that is expected to progress. It's expected to grow as we know the Lord, as we walk with him. And it says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Our faith, the end of our faith, should be holiness. There are a lot of people that claim to have faith in Christ, just like we heard about from the Bergs tonight. Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Well, not quite the right way. You see, those that truly know Christ, that truly have faith, a born-again believer, that faith is supposed to lead to holiness. Well, when we see men living for themselves, the false teachers, just like we read about in verses 18 and 19, we see the proof is in the pudding. Their faith isn't leading them to holiness. He says there are mockers in the last time, in verse 18, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. People would say they have faith, but they don't have the right faith. It's not really that great to have faith. It's who is your faith in? It needs to be in the saving work of Jesus Christ. And then that faith, the faith that we have, should produce holiness in our lives, our most holy faith. So that is how we are to keep ourselves in the love of God, but also we are to be praying in the Holy Ghost, verse 20 tells us. The Bible tells us in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so we don't know how the Holy Spirit prays for us, but he does. So if we're praying in the Holy Ghost, I think that would mean that we're in tune with him and that our prayers match the Holy Spirit's prayers as he prays for us. Now, if we neglect these two things, building up ourselves in our most holy faith, and we neglect praying in the Holy Ghost, then we are not keeping ourselves in the love of God, as verse 21 says. Now, you might be scratching your head saying, why do we have to keep ourselves in the love of God? Because nothing can separate us from it, can it? Well, of course, that's true. Romans chapter 8, what shall separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, peril, nakedness, sword, and he goes on with his list, height, depth, and so on and so forth. So nothing can separate us from the love of God, but nevertheless, we're told to keep ourselves in the love of God. So what does this mean? Well, here's what I think it means, and I could be wrong, but I think sometimes the love of God is not near to us. It's not on the center of our mind. You see, if our minds aren't centered in God's love, then I think we will make shipwreck of our Christian life. God's love should do things in our life. So keeping ourselves in the love of God, I think, means that his love will motivate us. Paul says the love of Christ constraineth us. And then he says that he died for all, that they which live, that's those of us who are saved, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And so if we are in the love of God, I think that is going to motivate us to live for God. The love of Christ, as we focus on his love for us, we want to have that same love radiated through us to the world. Also, his love is to be found in us. If we keep ourselves in the love of God, his love should be in our heart. The fruit of the Spirit is, first off, what? Love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But the first one on that list is love. If we keep ourselves in the love of God, the Holy Spirit is producing that love in us. And so I think that's part of keeping ourselves in the love of God. And it will be evident in our lives. It is a type of love that only God can produce in our heart. We can't do it. We are powerless to have agape love. We are powerless to love the world like Jesus loves the world. And also, if we keep ourselves in the love of God, it will make our lives worthwhile. What did Paul say in the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13? He says, if I do all these great things, if I have faith that can move mountains, he says, but if I don't have love, I am nothing. I am a tinkling brass and a sounding cymbal, just worthless noise. If I do all these great works, but I do not have love. And so keeping ourselves in the love of God makes our life worthwhile. The only worthwhile life is the one that serves God. So when we're not allowing his love to be lived out in our lives, we will be in some great spiritual danger. If we do not have God's love in our heart, if we are not keeping ourselves in the love of God, then a multitude of sins will not be covered. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says that charity shall cover the multitude of sins. When people hurt us, our flesh wants to do what? Revenge. It wants to get back. It wants, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. And oftentimes it's with an added measure as well. We want to get them worse than they got us. So with love, a multitude of sins can be covered. But if we don't keep ourselves in the love of God, then we're going to want to start getting even with people that hurt us. Without love, we're not going to give of ourselves to help others. We're not going to have good works in our lives. God so loved the world that he gave. If we do not have that love, we're not going to be giving and doing good works and giving of ourselves. Without love, we'll also lose our spiritual bearings and we're going to hurt other people. Do you think that ever happened to the Apostle Paul? You think he ever made any mistakes? He did great things for God. We read about it. But did he treat John Mark very well? John Mark went with him on his missionary journey, but then he decided, I want to go back home. I want to go back to what's comfortable, the things I know. And John Mark then later decided, okay, I want to come back with you guys, Paul and Silas. I want to go back on the journey with you guys and help. And Paul said, there's no way, I don't have any room for a quitter. And he was very harsh with John Mark, and Paul and Silas split ways. And Silas went with John Mark, and Paul then took Barnabas. So without love, we're going to hurt other people. So we have this command, keep ourselves in the love of God so that we can be prevented from overwhelming calamity. We also have the Holy Spirit, go figure, once again. Point A, we can be preserved by God's Word, or the Holy Spirit and God's Word. Point number two, we have safety in the Holy Spirit and God's Word. We have our familiar friends for letter C. We are prevented from overwhelming calamity by the Holy Spirit. For this, we turn to Psalm 34, 7. Psalm 34, verse 7. A great verse of comfort. Here David writes, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." And so here is more physical protection. But we have the angel of the Lord encamping round about those that fear him. And then he also delivers them. And David certainly experienced this. King Saul was on one side of the mountain with his thousands of men, and King David was on, well, soon to be King David, was on the other side. Saul was hunting David. Who do you think kept King Saul from peeking over the top of the mountain? I believe it was God who was camping round about David because God was going to protect him. And so overwhelming calamity can be held back by the Holy Spirit. Back in their day, the Holy Spirit came and went. And so it says the angel of the Lord camps round about. In the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit. He's with us. And Jesus is with us as well. And then we're in his hand. And so God gives us protection as well. So he guards us from calamity. Now notice, who is that promise to? It's not to every Christian. The promise of this protection in Psalm 34, 7 is to whom? Those who fear God. We might say it a different way, those who keep themselves in the love of God, as Jude says. So God gives supernatural protection when it's within his will. Allstate says you're in good hands with them, but you're in even better hands with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can beat the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. God also keeps us from not just physical danger, but also spiritual danger. That's why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are there. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so we acknowledge God in all of our ways, and he protects us. God sees the big picture from above. He knows where the danger is, and he will get us safely to where we need to go in life. And so he will protect us from overwhelming calamity. We also have that protection in the Word of God. Psalm 40, verses 11 and 12. More words of David. Psalm 40, verse 11. "Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness," now notice this, "and thy truth," that's God's Word, "continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me." So David's in a rough spot here. He's just like you. When you have tough times, you have to almost like work up your faith. And that's what he's doing, but he's doing it with God's Word. He wants God's Word to help him. And that is really a defining characteristic of David. When you are down and out, when you are discouraged and you're depressed, do you go to God's Word or do you want to retreat from God's Word? You see, when Christians fall upon hard times, they do one of two things. They ask for prayer, they get close to God, or they get far away from God because, God, why did you do this to me? How could you hurt me like this? David, when he's in trouble, he says, "I want God's truth. I want God's Word." That's what's going to protect him from calamity. So he wanted God's truth. Also, letter D on the backside here, we have God is guarding us so that we do not fall into carnal sin. Back in the book of Jude, I'll read real quick, verse 23. "And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Now you might say, isn't this talking about soul winning? I mean, we just looked at verse 23 a few weeks ago, and that was the context. But what we're keying in on is the last part of the verse, "hitting even the garment spotted by the flesh." Can Christians sin too? Can we sin just like the world sins? How many sins can we not commit that the world can't commit? I'll just tell you this, one. The only sin that we can't commit that the unsaved people can is rejecting Jesus as Savior. And so we can have this garment spotted by the flesh just like they do. You see, Christians can get themselves in a world of hurt if they follow themselves instead of God. And so God can present us faultless and keep us from falling into carnal sin. We are to hate the sin in others' lives. It says hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, those that are in danger of hellfire. But also we need to hate the sin in our own lives. If we don't hate the sin in our own lives, how do you think we're going to hate the sin in unbelievers' lives? And so we need to hate sin like God hates sin. When you were getting dressed to come to church tonight, do you inspect your clothes? You make sure they look clean? No one's answering. Okay, someone does. Good. And especially when you have little kids, your clothes can get dirty a whole lot faster than you expect. They grab your, down your lower leg. That can get dirty easily. They grab on the back of your shoulders and your coat gets all dirty. So long story short, maybe you don't, but I do. Had to make sure that I look all right. But nevertheless, we can get a garment that's stained, and you don't want to wear that out in public, do you? Maybe if you're working on the car, that's fine, or you're painting the house, that's fine, but you want clean clothes when you go out in public. When we come before God, which when are we not, we should want to have clean garments as well. We want to inspect ourselves spiritually. David said he asked God to reveal even his secret faults. God, show me all of my sin. Now, why do you think he wanted God to show him all of his sin? So he could get forgiveness and do better in the future. So once again, we have two familiar assistants in this matter. We have the Holy Spirit, and we'll go to Isaiah 30:21. Isaiah 30:21. We have the Holy Spirit helping us to not fall into sin. And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. And so there's guidance there. The Holy Spirit guides us. He lets us know when we're about to make a mistake, because he doesn't want us to fall into carnal sin. So the Holy Spirit helps us. We live in a very tangled world. We get the world's philosophies thrown at us from every which direction. How do we stay true to what God wants us to realize in our lives that he wants us to follow? We have the Holy Spirit guiding us. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 14, the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so we have a faithful guide inside of us, and he's going to help us walk the right way to steer clear of sin. And God also guards us from carnal sin by his word. Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So God's word is there helping us. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need God's word to keep us from sin. I've heard temptation and the struggle within us be likened to a dog fight. And if one dog is weak and undernourished, whereas the other dog is strong and healthy and ready to go, who's going to win that fight? It's the strong one that's been fed well, that's nourished. Well, we have our flesh and we have our spirit. The one that we feed the most is going to win the battle. And so when we get into battle, if we hide God's word in our heart, that's like being a soldier who's hungry and he's able to pull something out, a snack in his pocket, and eat it and get the strength and nourishment that he needs. We hide God's word in our heart so that we don't sin against God. I've heard before that you have about 3 seconds to make a decision. When the devil throws something in your path that you weren't expecting, you have 3 seconds to decide whether you're going to do right or do wrong. And so we've got to have the word of God within us so that we can use it quickly to defeat carnal sin and the temptation to sin. We have God, his word, his Holy Spirit. They're there to help us. And so we need to take full advantage of the resources God gives us to help us in our Christian lives. Let's be dismissed with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you that we could be in your house tonight. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we know you'll present us faultless in heaven. And Lord, we pray that we'll work on becoming faultless here in this world, all for your honor and your glory. Dismiss us with your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.